This chazar is a chinesh of bachich hezek shagam v'am Yehuda mesechta skubas daf yud gimel. Zok the Mishnah of a woman claims she lost her basulim due to injury. The husband says no, it was due to a bia. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar say she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua said she's not believed. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah is discussing where she's saying she deserves a ksuba of 200, and he's saying she only deserves a ksuba of 100. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan holds a Gemara says that in all cases, a woman who lost her basulim due to injury get a ksuba of 200. Rabbi Elazar says she's claiming she deserves 100, and he's saying that she deserves nothing at all. Because Rabbi Elazar holds a Rabbanu who says that such a woman would get a ksuba of only 100. In fact, we can understand why Rabbi Elazar says that he does, because he wants to say the Mishnah is following the view of the Rabbanon. However, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say it like that as well? Rabbi says, because he holds that a woman who is married on a presumption of being a basula, and it turns out she's a ba'ula, gets a ksuba of 100. This means that the husband's claim in this case is that she only deserves 100. If she's also claiming that she only deserves 100, then there's no disagreement at all. Therefore, it has to be that the Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar doesn't have this problem because he holds that a woman married under presumption of a basula, who turns out to be a ba'ula, would actually receive nothing at all. And therefore, he could say that her taina was 100, his taina is 0, and therefore could even follow the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Elazar, who says that she would receive no ksuba at all, it makes sense why the machlokes is needed in this Mishnah and the previous one, because this Mishnah excludes the view of Rami Bar Chama, who says that if the husband did not know she had lost her basulim due to injury, she does not receive a ksuba at all. And the previous Mishnah excludes the view of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovan in the name of Rav Sheshes, who said that such a woman would receive a ksuba of 100. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why are both Mishnahs needed? Mar says the previous Mishnah teaches the extent of the view of Rabbi Yeshua, that even though the woman has a migoy, she still not believed. And this Mishnah teaches the extent of Rabbi Gamliel, even though she has no migoy, she still believed. Zok the Mishnah, if they saw an unmarried woman talking, we'll see what that word talking means, talking to a man, and they asked her, who is this man? And she said, it's so-and-so the Kayan, meaning he's a kashrut person. Everybody else says she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua said, she is not believed, and she's presumed to have been mezana with a nasan or mamzer, unless she can prove otherwise. The mission continues. If an unmarried woman is pregnant, they ask who the father of the child is. And the woman says, it's so-and-so the Kayan, meaning a kashrut person. Or we learn what the other say, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, she's not believed. And she's presumed to be pregnant from a nasan or a mamzer, unless she can prove otherwise. Shlekhmer, what does the mission mean that she was seen speaking to another man? Zairi says it means she was actually secluded with another man. Rav Asi says it means she was mezana with another man. According to Zairi, it makes sense why the mission is speaking. She was secluded. According to Rav Asi, why doesn't the mission just say that she was mezana? Mar says it wants to use a finer verbiage. Shlekhmer, according to Zairi, it makes sense why we need both cases in the Mishnah. First one teaches that Rabbi Yeshua says she's usher even though we don't know that she was mezana, she was only meyachid. And the second one teaches that Rabbi Gamliel believes her even though we know for sure she was mezana. However, why are both cases, because it was just pregnant, obviously she was mezana. However, why are both cases in according to Rabbi Asi? Where it says one teaches that she remains mutter to a kayin, the other teaches that her child is mutter to a kayin as well. We learned that Rav said that one receives malchus for secluding but does not become usser. It seems that we would have to say that Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Asi, would disagree with that. Mar says that maybe that all would agree that we're extra stringent when it comes to kahanim. Fedekmar Abraisa says if she was seen going into seclusion with a man or into a ruin with a man, and when asked about this, she says that the man was her cousin, who's a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says she believes. Rabbi Yeshua says that she's considered to have been mezana with a nasan or a mamzer, unless she can prove otherwise. Now, according to Zairi, these two cases are like the two cases of our Mishnah. Going into a room is the same thing as seeing mezana. However, according to Rabbi Asi, why are both cases needed? So the Mishnah means to say, Mar says she's secluded in a ruin. She's secluded in a room. It's really one case. She's secluded. Where did she seclude? In a ruin. But the Mishnah says, or she's secluded or was seen in a ruin, meaning it's two separate cases. Mar says, one case is a ruin in the city where we can assume that whoever went in with her was a valid person because they came from the city and most of the people in the city were valid people. The other case is a ruin in the fields where we can't make that assumption that the person she went with was kosher. And both are needed to show that Rabbi Yeshua does not agree in the first case, even though we can assume maybe it was kosher, a valid person. And Rabbi Gamliel does not agree in the second case, meaning even though they came from outside the city, still we can, if she's believed to say that it was a valid kosher person. You agree that a captured woman with regard to whom there are witnesses that she was captured is not believed to marry a kohen. Why is this case like our Mishnah that were different? He responded, in that case, there are witnesses, whereas here, there are no witnesses, so she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua asked, the fact that she's pregnant is as good as witnesses, so that she was mezana, so she should not be believed. So Rabbi Gamliel responded, most goyim are unrestrained regarding znus. And that's the difference. Rabbi Yeshua said, there's no guarantor to prevent znus. We'll have to see what this means. The Braisa says, this is in regard to the woman herself. However, all would agree that the child of the woman would be a shtuki. The Gemara explains the conversation in the Braiser. Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, you've only asked regarding the case where she was pregnant, but I've not addressed the case where she was speaking to a man. He answered, the case of speaking is the case of a captured woman. Gamliel said, the case of a captured woman is different because goyim are unrestrained as nus, and therefore we can assume that they violated her. Rabbi Yeshua said, the case of a secluded woman would be no different because there's no guarantor when it comes to znus, from preventing znus. From this back and forth, anyway, we clearly see that there are two cases being discussed. There's a few, the view of Ravasi. Sagt Gemara, Tiyufta, the Ravasi, Tiyufta. Fragt Gemara, why can Rabbi Yeshua say the difference between the case and the capture of the captured woman and the case of the speaking to the woman speaking to the man is that the captured woman, by most people are invalid for her in that case, whereas the case of the speaking woman, most people are valid. Gemara says it supports Rav Shmuel Levi, who says that the one who says she's possible will say so even when most people there are valid, and the one who says she is valid will say so even when the most people are there are invalid. The Gemara Rabbi Yechon said, just as Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Eliezer say she's valid, they also said her child would be valid to a kohen as well. Rabbi Yeshua would say that she's not valid, would say her child is not valid either. Rabbi Elazar said that even according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, the child is not valid for a kohen. Rabbi explains the view of Rabbi Elazar, the woman has a chazaka, she's valid, the child is not. Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yechon, and the Brice quoted above said that all agree that the child is a stuki. Rabbi Yechon said the Brice means that the child is a stuki, but he's valid kohen. As we find that Shmuel says that that a child whose father is known to be a kohen, we don't know exactly which kohen the father is, he's considered to be a stuki in that he may not do the avoid or truma. But he's still a kosher kain. Otherwise, he's a miyuchas. He learns this based on a drasha of a pasuk. Mar says a couple who had eris and came to Rabbi Yosef and told him she was pregnant. They both said that she was pregnant from the husband. Rabbi Yosef said, she said the child will be valid. She and the child, I'm sorry, will be valid. Number one, because they both agree it's from the husband. Number two, we pass on Rabbi Gamliel that she's believed. Abaye asked, we find that Shmuel said that we only pass on Rabbi Gamliel and most of the people present were valid. And in that case, most of the people were not valid. Mar says, b'diev, we pass on Rabbi Gamliel even when most people are not valid. Therefore, in this case, when she was already pregnant, and that is a case of b'diev. And therefore, we're going to pass on Rabbi Gamliel even though most people were not valid for her.